I'm certain that most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the headlines and the stories, the images from what's been happening on our border with Texas, if not the detention facilities and all these things that are dealing with immigration. Although they are rather troubling and sad, I feel like we're all kind of lost in what to do. So I wanted to take this time, especially considering the readings kind of lined up with it, to talk about immigration and, most importantly, the Catholic Church's perspective and the biblical perspective on immigration. Because we need to have a good sense as Christians what God is commanding of us. And it's actually incredibly explicit, more so than you may anticipate. So I'm going to start out with the biblical perspective. Throughout the entirety of the law books, most of the historical books, every major prophet and half of the minor prophets are abundantly clear on this particular point. That if anyone wants to oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, then God will have his vengeance. That God is very particularly tied to the poor people. I don't want to use the word alien any longer. That's the way my translation has it. We're going to say foreigner. So the foreigner, the widow, the poor person, and the orphan. These are four groups of people that God has a very special liking to, even to the point where the Hebrew people had a special name for them called the Anoim, the little guy. God loves the little guy. And he always does. And so the prophets are abundantly clear on this point. If you harass these people, God will come after you. And there's a reason for it. The widow had nothing. Without a husband, she was next to nothing in that society. She didn't have land, she didn't have property, she didn't have rights. The orphan was very much so the same way. Without parents to care for the orphan child, there was nothing supporting him. He had no ancestral heritage, he had no family, that was it. The same thing worked with the alien, the foreigner. The foreigner was someone who came into the land, and by being there, they didn't follow with any of the tribes, they couldn't purchase any land, they're kind of left on their own. And you'd think that as a people established in this place, God would be like, no, kick them out, make this place very much so Israeli. But he didn't. He said any foreigner who is here is not only supposed to be supported by the society, but also made to follow the Jewish laws. This was God's way of doing things. The same thing worked with the poor person. If there's anyone in your country who is poor, God commanded that they take care of these people so that no one is oppressed in God's land. No one is feeling the injustice. Now that works to an extent, like that worked well for that ancient society, but as we developed, things got more complicated. It doesn't quite fit as well as we'd hope into our modern society. Well, over the last 200 years, the church has reflected on the issues of modernity, the modern world, and immigration and how to see that. And so I want to pull these things together so you have a clear perspective on how the church has settled on this issue. First of all, we have to recognize one important thing, that we have sovereign states. As sovereign states, each state has and what I mean by that would be country, not individual states, the United States of America. So we call them sovereign nations. Each nation has the ability to govern the laws of its territory, as well as to regulate who comes in and out. That's a given right of the country, and that's to protect the citizens that are there, as well as to allow for the preservation of peace. That's what it's for. That being said, there's a human rights issue that the church has also recognized, and that's the issue of immigration. Immigration is immensely complicated. There are three main groups, two of which I want to speak about today, that really help us understand why immigration happens and how to give us a broader perspective on the issue itself. So the first main group that comes over and crosses any border are those who are asylum seekers. Their country has either put them into a situation where they're fearing for their lives or they're in situations where they need severe help. We get that. We understand that these people need some help. I just read an article this morning about a 17-year-old boy who is from Mexico, where he was at in Mexico, his mom abandoned him right after birth, and he's raised by his grandparents. Well, shortly after that, his mom said, you have two options, either you join the gang down here that I'm a part of or you're going to die. And there he had two death threats on his life, two attempts for them to take his life before he tried to escape to the United States. This is what asylum looks like. The other type of people are those trying to seek a better life. And we got to keep in mind that those who are seeking a better life aren't doing that just because they're like, hey, I want to make a few extra bucks. It'd be easy to move. It takes quite a bit of effort to move from one country to another. Imagine with me for a moment what it'd be like to move from here to Kalispell. It's not an easy process to move regardless of where you are, but to move from one country to another as the character of distance, but also culture, politics, all these things are part of that too. So to make the decision to move is quite a big issue. I remember when I was back in Beaverton, I met a woman who, by speaking to her, talking to her, or even being with her, you'd never know this, but she finally opened up her story to me, and she's originally from Vietnam. She came over during the fall of Saigon. In the midst of that fall, they were on a wooden boat crossing the ocean in this rickety fishing boat, to 150 people a boat. As they were sailing towards Japan, a group of pirates ransacked them and wanted to rape everyone on board and pillage what they could. Her mom gave her life to keep her from being raped. Here are some of the many stories that I could tell of people who are seeking some sort of asylum or to immigrate to our country. That being said, the two things have to be held in tension with each other. Protecting our borders, recognizing the importance of keeping the preservation of our society, but also the rights of these people to seek a better life when clearly they don't have it. Which then leads to the ultimate question that we would all love to answer and really can't: what do we do? I don't want to talk politics. I want to be very blunt about that. I want to talk about people. And the reason why I talk about people is because that's really what the issue is about. It's about how do we support the people of the world, including ourselves, and really recognize what's going on, be real with it, and move forward. First and foremost, I want to encourage you very strongly, if you don't know anyone who is an immigrant, find someone to meet them. The reason being is, for a lot of the situation we deal with in our country, all the politics and stuff, it becomes so radically different when we meet someone who is in the midst of that. It changes it from a policy to a person. And that helps us get a broader perspective on what's going on, so it's not just hearsay and ideas and concepts and whatnot, but it becomes someone we know. And believe it or not, we probably all know someone here and even Townsend who has immigrated, or we know someone who has immigrated. And if we want to broaden that perspective just slightly and really dive deep into the Bible, the Israelites were told one thing by God: this land called Israel, you are not native to. You came here as immigrants. You came here as a people I brought here, conquered the nations, and made it your own. Therefore, you cannot oppress the foreigner in your land because they are no different than you. The same thing applies to all of us. Almost no one, I don't know anyone in Townsend yet, who can trace all their ancestry back to the United States itself. All of us came over some point, okay, maybe one. That all of us can trace our ancestry some point before between the Mayflower and now. And that means we are all immigrants too. And to recognize that gives us a sense of humility. The next point I want to make is we have to know what's going on. What are the actual issues? What are the problems going on? We hear a lot of news, we hear a lot of things, but to really hound the issues and be clear about them is not easy, but we should strive for it. As we hear from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, violence, cry out violence. We should be fighting against the injustices of our time with the same force and strength of Habakkuk's speech. He said, this should not be. We should not allow these injustices to happen, these violations of persons' human rights. We should be working always to fight for the good, to work towards what is right. And lastly, I lost the point. It'll come back. I had another one. Lastly, we need to be Christian people. And what I mean by that is God is very clear with his laws and what he demands of us. And Jesus made that point clear in a really weird parable today, where we have this servant who is out doing his work and the master comes in, and Jesus would be like, wouldn't he want to commend this servant for doing what he asked him to do? No, he makes him wait for him at table, and then after they're done, the servant can eat. Which then ends with the phrase, when it comes to the end of time, we want to stand before God and said, we did what you commanded of us. Well, clearly from the Old Testament, he commands us to treat people with respect, namely the poorest of the poor, the people who are aliens, the people who are oppressed by society. So if we really want to stand before his throne and say, we did what you asked, we have to find a way to remedy this. I don't know what it is. I invite you all to ponder, think, pray. What is God asking of us? How are we going to deal with some of these issues that are plaguing our society today?